We've been talking about the prophetic word, and I want to continue with that, and then we'll see if it will come to a close. If it doesn't, we can try and close it up next week, and then move on to something else. I want the things that God is putting in my heart that I would love us to delve into as we continue. We say that the purpose of this teaching is to make sure that our lives are effective and have purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Caleb, there's something at the end of my voice, like a high, and as I'm told, it's like a sound like an echo. The purpose of us, there we go. The purpose of us learning this is so that we can be effective in our lives, and our lives can be effective. And I say the profitability of our life is not to acquire property, although that comes with it. It's not to acquire the materialistic, although that comes with it. But the profitability of our lives is how many lives we get to impact and how many lives we get to change. The more lives we get to change, then the credit score of your life goes up. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. People will remember men who changed their lives. People will remember men who had impact in their lives. But also people... just cut it. That's my grandma. But also people will remember people will remember rich men. Okay? Come on, move on. Yes, I need you to concentrate. That seat belongs to you. It is warmed up especially for you. Yes. So as we go about the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, the most important part is to profit our lives, and the profit of our lives is determined by how many lives our lives impact. Amen. And I cannot stress that enough times. Last week, the previous week we talked about identity. The audio is on my podcast. You can find it. We talked about finding identity and understanding all these things so that you can understand the prophetic word. Last week we talked about, majorly, we talked about how the Word of God puts up a standard and how we are supposed to accelerate or come up to that standard so that we can accord the word the opportunity to have an expression. Amen. Amen. Let me say that again. We talked about how the Word of God puts up a standard. The Word of God has a standard by itself. It sets up a standard. And the moment the Word of God is spoken over your life, it permits, it puts together everything that allows you to accelerate your life so that the standard of your life can be lifted, so that you as a person can enable the Word to have expression. I also say that the Word has life, but the word looks for one to live through. Amen. The word in itself has life, but the word consistently looks for one to live through. And if it does not find one, if it does not find a suitable, if you do not become a suitable host for the word over your life, then your life remains at this level of life. Okay? So the Word of God is spoken over your life so that you can raise to its standard and give it expression so that it can live through you. But the moment you don't raise through the standard, you don't grow in the standard to become to take up the standard of the Word, then the Word of God does not find expression. And that's why you find that some people are living mediocre lives. They're living mediocre lives because they have not grown to the standard of the word that is lingering and hanging over their life. Amen. I also say that it is very important to note that every one of us has a prophetic word over their life. It does not have to come from a pastor. You do not have to be called in front. Maybe you are those people who sit at the back, and the prophets by default, the prophets many a times do not see the people who sit at the back. So the people who sit at the front look like the best candidates to receive a prophetic word. But everyone has a prophetic word over their life. It can be by your father, it can be your mother, by your uncle. But there is a word that has been spoken over your life that acquires, that protects, that guides, that directs, that gives you direction. Amen. 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 It can be as simple as you are blessed. It can be as simple as ulienda kwa shosho yako akakutemea mate. It can be as simple as that. But that is a prophetic word over your life that God honors. Amen. Amen. The word of God is practical. The word is practical. The word is practical. Most of the time as I teach this, you will hear me say the word of God, you'll hear me say the prophetic word. I'm still trying to differentiate the two. I'm still trying to really differentiate the two. And I hope I, for the benefit of what I believe and what I trust, I hope I won't get there. Okay? Alright? I don't want to get to a point where I can differentiate the word of God and the prophetic word, but that's a story for another day, and that's my personal reason. You can find a differentiation, we can find definitions that define the two differently, and that will be okay for you. But the word of God is practical and carries life. Once it is spoken, it has to live. The word of God, once the word has been spoken, once a word has been spoken, let me say that, once a word has been spoken, it becomes practical and it has to find a way to live. Sijui kama umesikia usiite mtoto wako mjinga, don't say these words, because these words have life, and words have life, and immediately they come out of the jar, they cannot be taken back. And they have to find a way to live. So in one way or the other, you find this child just becoming stupid. Because every time that was spoken over their life, it was spoken over their life, spoken over their life, until they rose to the standard of stupidity. Okay? You get what I'm saying? So the word, once a word is spoken, it has to find a way to live. And this is the thing. The word is practical, and the word is like an organization. The word is like an organization. The word is like an organization. What do I mean? I mean that the word comes in the form of an organization. It has a CEO, it has a chairman, it has a director of operations, it has a marketing director, it has all these things. It includes, it also has a message, it has a foreman, it has paka watu kibarua. So once the word is deployed, everything, every system within the word begins to create environments, begins to create spaces for the word to become alive. Okay? Okay? So once the word is spoken, it is structured in a way that it has to make its way through. It has to, one way or the other, it might take you 70 years, but one way or the other, the word will make sure that it drags you to the standard of itself so that you can begin to live. Okay? Remember I say that we can at times not come to the standard of the word and not give expression to the word. But then again, the word has life, it has structures, it has systems that it will fight you. Can I give you an example? Jonah is told to go to where? Jonah is told to go to where? He's told to go to Nineveh because there's some people who need the word of God. But in his wisdom, he decides that the people in Nineveh do not need the word of God. They do not need the gospel. And in his wisdom, very wise man, because this guy has walked with the Lord.
He decides to go to where?
Come on.
Tarshish. And on his way to Tarshish, the word of God decides that, you know what? I was told to go to this direction, and I have decided that I have found a host in you. So you are the only one capable of making me alive. So it begins to orchestrate a system where Jonah has to find himself where? So the word begins to speak to the water, and the water rages. And when the water rages, the word speaks to the people in the boat, and the people in the boat decide that they will not die. They decide that they will not die. And they come together and ask themselves, who is not supposed to be here? Because we cannot die. That is the word. That is the word speaking. That is the word making its way. That is the organization. It is the structure of the world to make sure that it has come to fulfillment. And the word of God goes a step further to speak to a well that its stomach is conducive to carry life. Anything that enters your stomach must die. Because the environment in your stomach cannot accommodate life. But the word makes sure that the environment in the stomach of the well is conducive enough to protect, secure, and not just protect, secure, but transport Jonah to Nineveh. And Jonah gets there, and when he gets there, the word begins to find expression and men come to the Lord. So, in the first instance, there is a word that you need to graduate to its standard. And in the second instance, there is a word that comes to you when you have already attained the standard, you have not made the decision to follow the word. And because you have already attained the standard, or the word in itself, the word in itself must be lived, must find expression. And when the word decides that, it will fight everyone, including you. So some of us, and the lives that we live, and the distress that is in our life, is the product of the word over our lives fighting us. Let me say that again. When I was teaching the very first sermon, I said that the word fights anyone. Like the word, what's your name? Trisha. Fraser. Ah, nice. The word over Fraser does not care how anointed I am. The moment I begin to interfere with her, the word over her life begins to fight me. The word over my life can kill a president because it has to secure me in order for it to live. Okay? So when you go on touching the anointed, and when I'm saying the anointed, I'm not talking about people who hold this. I'm talking about people who have words over their lives. When you go on touching people because you think you are anointed, you face the consequences of the word over their lives. Amen. And now there's a situation where the word over your life fights you because you are not cooperating with it. Sometimes it's out of ignorance, sometimes it's out of a decision of a life you want to live. You want to live a certain kind of life, and the word that is over your life has decided that this life is not yours. So the word begins to fight. It frustrates you until you come in line with the word. So some of us, most Christians, most believers, are living a good life, but they are frustrated because they are enemies over their words, over their own lives. Let me give you an example, another example. The prophet, his name is, what's his name? What's his name? Jeremiah, I think Jeremiah is. Jeremiah is at war with Jezebel. And the word of God comes over his life and tells him to go to a specific place, a specific location where he will be fed. If he said he was a prophet and he can make that brook anywhere, like the word of God over Jeremiah told, tells him, go, Elijah, thank you, Elijah. The word of God over Elijah comes over him, it comes over him and tells him to go to the brook. And Elijah being the prophet, you know, Elijah is not just a prophet. Elijah is a custodian of a dimension. Like when we talk about the prophetic dispensation, we don't talk about Jeremiah, we don't talk about Isaiah, we talk about Elijah. He's a custodian. He's a custodian. Remember when Jesus went to the mountain to pray, the mountain of transfiguration, your CRV is good. And he meets Elijah and Moses. These are custodians. He just does not meet them. And remember, he meets Elijah and Moses. And when he meets Elijah and Moses, they have communion. And what is over them is imparted over Jesus. And when Jesus comes down, the first miracle he does is an illustration of his encounter with Elijah and Moses. Why do I say so? Because Elijah is the prophet of fire. Moses is the prophet of water. And then he comes down and meets that guy when I'm gonna papala. And the father tells him, my son has been with this disease since birth. He at times falls into fire and at times falls into water. He had epilepsy, right? And when that thing comes over him, he falls into fire and gets burnt and falls into water and can drown. But Jesus has met Elijah, the prophet whose representation is fire, and Moses, whose representation is water, and casts out the demon in this child because he was anointed for that specific at that particular time. So when Elijah comes and he says that this is where he's been sent. Elijah knows and understands that if he goes to a different place, he will die of hunger. But he goes to the specific place of where the word has sent him because the word finds expression in that place. If he decided to go to a different place, the word would not care if he was Elijah. He would die. He would die of hunger. What a pity. So the word begins to deploy its necessary forces to make sure that it finds life. I've written it. The word is practical and carries life. Once it's spoken, it has to live. For it to live, it has to find a host, deploy its creative mechanism into the host, so that to make the host a favorable environment for it to habitate. I said this, every word comes equipped with the tools to help you attain its standard. Every word comes equipped with the tools to facilitate you to attain the standard of that word. The word guards its potential. The word will always guard its potential until it becomes kinetic energy. It was just there. I had to. It's pathetic, but I had to. So the word will guard its potential. The word does not because the example that comes to me is that of energy. The word does not lose the energy, its energy to perform its instruction and assignment until it has come to that time. It is not like a stone that is hot, that with time it cools down. It guards its potential. It guards its potential waiting for one time. Because a word, a certain word, certain words are for an appointed time. Okay? So a word is spoken to you that you will become a father. You just don't wake up, find the next girl to fulfill the word of God over your life. You get what I'm saying? But because of our lack of understanding, that is what we do most of the time. A word is spoken over our lives, and because we have not, I say it again, we have to interrogate. We have to interrogate the word. Because we have not interrogated the word of God comes over you today, and you begin to walk its journey today, and you become frustrated. Why? Because the appointed time for the expression of that word to be lived has not come. So you're like, God, you said, oh God, you said, oh God, you said, yes, he said. But you did not follow through to understand, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? When is it supposed to come to fruition? So that after the time has lapsed, I begin to question the word. I begin to question, what is it that I did wrong? How comes I am not living the word that was spoken to me? But this is the thing. A word comes, and because as a man I am excited to tell you, and also sometimes because we have no time to explain prophetic words, I tell you just what has come, because someone else is here, needs to be told what is there, and another one is there. There is a demand for the prophetic. That is one mistake that happens. There is a demand. People are hungry. And you know, once there is a demand for the prophetic, it churns the gift in the prophet, and the prophet now begins to feed the demand. And now that becomes a recipe for disaster. So you are told a word today that you were supposed to leave it 20 years to come, and you begin to walk your journey 20 years before. By the time it gets to the time of that word to be fulfilled, you are tired. So the word has expression, the word has life, but you are so tired because you have been trying to live that word on your own accord and on your own strength. You have been trying to express a life that you have not been given the key, or you have not been given the breath to express it. So it frustrates you. It frustrates you. But the word guards its potential. So you can be told something today, and you're told it will come to pass. Let me give you another example. Isaiah speaks of, and I want you to be wise enough to go and research these scriptures and read them. Okay. I once have told you I want to lead an intelligent church. Isaiah prophesies. He prophesies, and we will read that scripture. It's Isaiah 7. We'll read that scripture as we come to it. He prophesies, and as he prophesies, it's so funny maybe let me say it's so funny to me, because you all are serious Christians when you read the scriptures, you wear your serious face. But it's so funny because the when you read the scripture, which we'll read, the answer that he gives to the problem at that time, it's like you come to me and you tell me, manze na wanga na tumbo. And then I tell, oh, we want to tumbo. Okay, sawa. And this is the word of the Lord. Atakuponya. And the sign of yeye kukuponya will be 30 years from now. You will have a baby boy. That's so funny. How do we solve the problem that is here now? And it was not even 30 years. It was not even 30 years. Between Isaiah and Jesus, it's not 30 years. It's not 30 years. It's time that if Isaiah prophesied that in our time right now, we would wait and say, you know, that guy is a fake man. You guy, man, that guy, you go to that church. You go to that church for that Isaiah guy. You know, that guy has said that some guy will be born, and that will be the sign. And we've waited, man. It's been 10 years. We're still waiting, man. Until I moved from that church, now I'm at Jeremiah. You know, man, we can't trust these guys. We can't trust these niggas. If Isaiah was in our time, we would have branded him a false prophet. Because everyone who had that word, trust you me, died. They died. Before the fulfillment of that word, they died. They died. But that word maintains itself. It maintains its potential until when the appointed time came, then the word found expression. Certain words that have been spoken over your life are for your children, and you will begin to live them when you have kids. You'll begin to live them when you have grandchildren. You'll begin to see the providence of God, the providence of that word, because that time came. You were just someone who was to be a custodian of the word. Because some of us are also living the result of prophetic words of a certain people that are no longer alive. You understand what I'm saying? And then we have this. God tells Moses, go to Egypt and fetch my people and bring them. So God tells Moses, that's a word. And he goes. And then they come and they get to a place, and the children of Israel wanna decide, manze tumefungiwa for long, lazima tupige sherehe. And they do their thing. And God tells man, and God comes to Moses and tells him, you know what, I have decided that I'm in no need of these people anymore, and let's just end this thing here. I will open up the ground and swallow them up, and no one will remember this story. And Moses remembers the word of the Lord. And he tells him, you said you will take these people from captivity to a place of rest. And he asks him, if you kill them and destroy them here today, what will people say? No. The credibility of the word of God would be put into question. What kind of God would say he will take us to point A and point B and then kill us? How can we trust him again? And the scripture says, and God repented. He changed his mind. Why? Because the word has potential. The word guards its potential. The word guards its potential until it has found the time, the right time to express itself. This was God. God would do it. But the word stood between the children of Israel and the wrath of God. The word stood in between them. And the word decided that, you know what? I am you and you are me. We cannot have this war. We cannot have this war. How will I be trusted again when you speak and say, I will take care of you, I will protect you, I will do this and this and this? Do the children of Israel arrive? The word is so powerful. The word is so powerful. Ah, amazing. Thank you. Thank you. The word is so powerful. The word is so powerful that the word had to create space to preserve you from the word. The word had to make Jesus die on the cross so that his blood is shed, so that that same word can preserve you from the word that condemns you and kills you. That is how powerful the words over your life are. And you have no reason not to come to a place of destiny. You have no reason not to become 100%, because there is a word spoken over your life. And if there is no word spoken over your life, I decree that you are blessed. I decree that you are blessed. You are prosperous.
Amen.
Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We cannot be ignorant over this. I'll read from verse 22 so that we can get a bit of context, but the verse that I want us to read is verse 29. When they heard these words, let's read the words that they heard. Verse 17. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him the denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar these things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. That's such a heavy spiritual war. Very heavy. Jesus answered to them and said, you are mistaken, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. For in resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of, and he goes on, what I wanted to read is this, 29. You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. In some versions, it says you err. Because you do not know the scriptures, know the power of God. Can someone get me another version? 29. another one.
KJV. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
Mm. So, this is a classic example of a people who come to debate, argue, without knowing the fact. You err because you do not know the scriptures, know the power of God. You err because you do not know the scripture or the power of God. And I can't emphasize this enough. For us to engage intentionally the word that is over our life, we need to know the word that is over our life. One of the major portions of word over your life is scripture. This book contains prophetic that are enough that for a lifetime, if you do not come into contact with a man or woman who tell you or who start their conversation with, I see, or this is what the Lord is saying, if you do not come into contact with such like people, the scriptures have enough prophetic words to steer your life, to steer your life to the end. When did you discover there are people called prophets? When you were in high school? When were you in high school? 2014. That's good. Dan, when did you discover? When did you discover? How old were you when you discovered that there's something called the prophetic gift? When you came to a full understanding of it? Oh, you were. Be very careful. You know we are in the 2020s.
Oh, between the 2020s, 2020s.
Between the ages of 20 and 22. Yeah. When was your first interaction with the prophet? How old were you, like, rough?
2007.
How old were you then?
Okay.
Everybody has your calculator. You were 21?
No, 18.
This is my point. This is my point. For 22 years, Dan has been living okay, perfectly okay, with just the scriptures taking care of him, until he comes into contact with a prophet. And now, because of how glamorous that gift is, frustrations begin from there onwards. Why? Because now the word of a prophet becomes primary to the word in the scriptures. Remember, the words of God that you are struggling with over your life are not words that are written. They are words that have been spoken to you. Because you have decided to place more value on that which is spoken through man. And as we will see, that which is spoken through man, we need to be very careful, because that which is spoken through man is not necessarily from God. You need to differentiate the word of the man of God and the word of God. And if you have no acquaintance with the written word, then you will always struggle with prophetic words over your life. Because this is the blueprint, this is the strategy, this is the bounds. This is what gives you direction. This is what makes you know. Was Sifa hungry on that day when he spoke? So he spoke out of hunger. Or was his stomach full? So he was blessing you like Isaac did bless Jacob. Because I have a full stomach. Or because I was so full, I went to sleep and I had a dream. And then I come and tell you. But because you are not acquainted, you are such a dependent Christian, then it messes everything up. Why? Because you do not know the scripture, nor the power of God. So you keep error. You are always in error. You are always wrong because you do not know the scripture, the power of God. Someone posted this, I can't remember who, and it was a conversation between three, four gentlemen. They were saying there's a research that has been done that shows a graph of when you read the word of God once a week, when you open your scriptures and read it once a week, and you read it, and then another person who does read it twice a week, and the person who read it three and then four times. And they were saying that the difference between the person who reads it two times and the one who reads it one is not, does not, unaona ile ati ya wewe unasoma mara moja mimi nasoma mara mbili, difference yetu sio mbaya sana, ni mbaya sana. The life of a person who reads the Bible twice a week is far much different from the person who reads it once. How about CC Team Sufuri? Sela. And the person who reads it four times a week. Hey, we are a prosper. When you pray, what do you pray with? My Father, my God. Oh, my Father, my God. Oh, my Father, my God. My Father, my God. My Father, my God. My Father, my God. In 1 hour, my Father, my God constitute 45 minutes of your prayers. Another 5 minutes of thanking the Lord. I thank you, Lord. Because you have been told that if you are not grateful and you are not full of thanksgiving, and then 5 minutes of your prayer is what God can use, because God only uses your word, his word. Like a person who only prays his word is what he doesn't care if you cry him a river. I know we have had songs and we are the people who say your tears are your prayers. I've seen that several. No, those tears you cry, don't make someone cry, because you know when they cry, kuna hiyo part. But you know God knows when you are crying emotionally. Because you are emotionally crying, and when your tears are really your prayers. I've told you this before. There's a day nilikuwa nimekaukiwa kwa service, and then nilikuwa tu like manzee leo service iko out, and then nikapenduka nikaona msichana mwingine ameinua mikono analia, niko kwa like wow.
million go out. And then after service, tukaongea na yeye, akamsalimia, akaniambia, hey, mzee, leo service imekuwa poa, nimelia. Lakini unajua mimi ulia tu kila time. And then there's you and I who are spirit filled, you know, tongue talking believers. And because we are empty, kwa sekta ya word, we pray in tongues. We escape. And sometimes in akuanga, I really don't believe what I pray. I really am so afraid to pray that Kanja will hear my prayer. So I'll just pray in tongues. So we are given direction, like you know, when we teach, and then we give you direction and tell you, okay, now let's pray for understanding. Raka baba. Ha? 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 And all this is because we do not know the scripture. We do not know the scripture. If you knew the scripture by mind, one, you would know that the scripture says, even before you prayed, he answered. And if you knew the scripture by heart, then you would do what? You would pray, because your prayers have already been answered. And now you would walk a life full of answers. Full of answers. And when your answer delays, you know. You know what's happening. You know what to do. Because you have known the scripture and the power. I told you as we began, it's important, go and ask your father, before you were conceived, before you were born, what is it that they wanted for you? What is it that they were speaking over you? Because those are tools to fight. Those are things you use to lay down a pavement for you to walk on. Knowing the word. Wow. For us to mature in this area, so that the next time you meet someone and ask them, how now wadiangu, ikwe umesha maliza word zote, like you're leaving the words that is ikoko a store. Okay. I don't know your interactions with the people who've been introduced to the prophetic, because there's a very bad culture among us of sustaining ourselves via prophetic words. What do I mean? You come to Kanja. And you know Kanja sees, wow, 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 wow. And when you meet Kanja like this, ukona word. Na feel kama ukona word yangu. Saigine una feel, it's okay. It's good. And do not be mistaken by this. I'm just correcting something. Do not be mistaken so that usikuwa una feel mtu akona word yako. But pia saa ingine ni poa kama unafeel ako na wadi yako, ngoja apate, usiende kumwekea pressure. Unafanya mtu aanze kutafuta word, atatafuta, alafu una professor wa tu kitu ndio uko satisfied.
ngoja apate akuje akuambie. Kama feeling yako ilikuwa right, atapata.
Na feel kama uko na wajana. And then it goes further to manze God alinishow uko na wajana.
The God who showed you, I have your word. Forgot my letter. Forgot my letter. Or my letter imepotelea huko kwa post office. Ya niko na wani ya beti. Like ile barua ile inaleta hiyo word. Ilifika kwako na yangu ikapotea. Haiwezi kuwa. But this is because we have developed a lifestyle of and it has been encouraged. It has been encouraged of sustaining ourselves via the prophetic word. So every time you are discouraged, every time unasikia unaamka hivi ulikuwa umeet na mse mmoja na huyo mse alikuwa ndio akupatie fair the week na alafu akakancel na akakwambia ama akakupigia akakwambia manzee yeye nimepata hii sasa sitakuwa naweza unakuwa discouraged. Sasa unaona solution ni nini? Nitafute word in encourage. Hizi kuni tunatupa kwa moto iongezeke. So, the word that was spoken over your life 10 years ago has not come to fulfillment. But you are here soliciting for words every other time. Every other time. Every other time.
Say it to you well.
Where's your goal number, Chapa? So, what was I saying? Joseph, I had a point. We cannot be Christians of fresh oil, new seasons. Fresh anointing, new season, fresh word. Every 2 weeks. Today is a fresh anointing. Next month, it's a fresh anointing. Next week, we hit you with a sermon of new wine. New wineskin. So you are constantly new, yet you have not even lived the old that you were in 2 weeks ago. If you come to me and tell me I am in this season, I must hold you accountable for a harvest at the end of that season. Don't be spiritual, don't feel nice. Come and tell me you're in a new season. It is not spiritual. It is not. It does not mean you are growing. It does not mean you. It does not mean anything. Some of us are not even in seasons. You are never in one. How many have been in seasons over the last year? I want us to be honest. Over the last year, you have testified, you have said, and I know some people who have said, I'm waiting for your hand now. How many have been in 1 year you've done 3 seasons? 2 seasons. Okay, in the last 3 years, you have come to me and told me, in this season that I am in, put your hand up. Because your hand is up in your heart. How many of you have an account of when that season started and ended? And the result of you coming through that season?
That is a good one. If you have that result, you can put your hand up. This is the thing. The word of God over your life is not something to give you psych to live another day. Your life tomorrow has already been taken care of. You don't need psych. So do not be in a constant place of asking people. And that's the worst. You can ask the Spirit, that's good. Asking people to give you a word. The reason why I tell you every prophetic word should come to you. Are you living? Every prophetic word should come to you first before it comes to another man to come and tell you or woman to come and tell you. It is so that you can learn certain things and know how to pick out certain things. Okay? Two things and then we are done. The word of God gives two things. The prophetic word. This is how you know this is a prophetic word. Two things. It either gives destination. Second classification to know that this is a prophetic word, it gives direction. If a word is spoken over you, and this is specific to prophetic words that are spoken, okay? If a word is spoken over you, for you to classify this as prophetic, you have to look and see what destiny is it speaking over? What destiny is it taking me to? If there is no destiny, there is no destination, then it becomes an illustration of a gift. It's either a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, because if I come and tell you what you ate tomorrow, of what use, what if I come and tell you your name, of what use is it to you? Okay? If I come and tell you your name, and tell you the name of your grandmother, and what they have been suffering, and I lay my hands over you and we fall and we finish that business and I go to the next, of what use is it to you? And this is why it is important that all these offices are coupled together. Because I cannot prophesy over you and not teach you. You will be half-baked. You cannot be prophesied over and not be pastor. Because there is a place where the hand of the prophet does not get to, and the hand of the pastor does. So if it does not give destiny, if it does not show a blueprint of destiny, a destination, then it is something else. It is not a prophetic word. And in that manner, then there has to be a direction to get to the destination. So the word of God comes to Isaiah chapter 7. You can write that down. Let's rush there. Isaiah chapter 7. Someone else open Matthew 2. And this is the journey of a word. You can go read it by yourself. And it came to pass in those days of and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive
and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So there is a problem, as I had said, and Isaiah begins to speak, and he said, this is the sign that God has had, whatever, you will read it and see it. And he says, the sign that God has had and will answer is that a virgin will conceive a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. That's a destination. That's a destiny. That's a destiny that the word has spoken. And this word travels, it travels, it travels, it travels, until it comes to Mary, and Emmanuel is born. And then there are these people. Let's go to Matthew 2. So a destiny has been given. Matthew 2. And you will see also a destiny in the next passage of scripture that we are reading. I'm trying to finish. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So a word that was spoken kitambo, it is being displayed. Because when a child is born, it is not announced. A child being born is not a big thing. It's only a big thing to the people who are getting the child. You get me? People don't come from afar to come and see a child who has been born who is not their relative. Okay? So they say they have seen a star because a word was spoken that a child will be born long time ago. And this is the word that is displaying that the word has come to fruition. So a star is lit up and only the wise men see it. So we have seen his star. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. You see? It's written by the prophet. Another word. It's written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people. That's the prophet Micah. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they had the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was born. When they saw the star, they rejoiced and exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young one. And then they come back, and when they come back, it is the star that gives them a different. So here is the word that was giving destiny is also giving direction to the wise men to go and reach out to the child. And they come into contact with Herod. And this is the third thing that a prophetic word will always provide. In between destiny and direction, the word will always provide protection. And that is so powerful. Understand? In between destiny and direction, as the word has appointed a place for you and is giving you direction to get to that place, that word will secure your life. That word will secure protection. And because the word had been spoken, the word gives direction to the wise men. When the wise men get to Herod and Herod does not want to worship, he wants to kill the child, the word provides protection by sending the wise men in a different direction so that Herod does not interfere with the child. So direction is given, And destiny is not aborted. Because in direction, there must be protection to secure that you get to your destiny. So those are three things that every time a person stands in front of you to give you a prophetic word, and most especially because they have brought themselves to you to give you a prophetic word, listen keenly. Are you hearing destiny? Are you hearing direction? Or are you hearing protection? They might not all be coupled in one word, because one word might have been spoken kitambo to give you destiny, and then another one comes to give you direction on how to get there, and then another one. So you have to be keen. When you listen to words over your life, you listen keenly and hear, is this giving me a new destination? Or is this giving me direction to a destination that a previous word had been given to me? That's why there must be a fresh memory of every word that has ever been spoken over your life. So that when the word begins to join the dots, you know, ini ile ya Bwana. Sasa kesho tunaenda Kericho. Ini ile ya kupata husband. Kesho lazima tuende Kericho. Kwa sababu word imesema tufanye nini? Tuende Kericho. Na ukifika Kericho, word itasema anakaa hivi na hivi na hivi na hivi. So that nyanga wengine isikupate. That's just a vague example. You have to be keen. Imambo ya ukisimama mbele ya mtu anaanza kukupatia word, unaanza kulia na kushout. Ni mjinga. Unaangushwa kama 3 times. And then ukitoka hapo ulizwe, so alikuwa anakuambia nini? Unajua hata sikusikia, there was so much power. Nope. There was so much power. Ilikuwa tu, ilikuwa overwhelmed. And then I get text sometimes. Ati, you remember what you told me 1 year ago? Nope, I don't. Can you tell me again so that I can write it down? Huh? Me? Remember. And then, nilikuambia nini? Na saa ingine ni, hata sikukumbuki. Juu tulikuwa Kisumu, nimeenda huko mara ya kwanza, nimeona watu 50, watu 100 hiyo siku, hiyo wiki. What, 300 hiyo wiki? Now, you remember what you told me last year when you came? No, I don't remember. It is not my responsibility to rehearse just because I was used to give you that one. But it is your responsibility to take into account so that when you sit down and the word of God continues coming into your life, you know, unajua, last time we were hivi na hivi na hivi. I've been praying, and as I've been praying, the word of God has sent another person, or God has spoken to me, and I know this is a continuation of this specific word over my life. So I am walking in those footsteps. When the word of God says you will hear a voice behind you, this is the way going in. It is direction. I always give this example. What would happen if Moses got to the top of the mountain and closed his ears? Take your son and go and make him a sacrifice. Abraham. And then he gets there and he hears again direction. Because Isaac was to carry promise. Isaac was to carry the star that the wise men were following. Direction, destiny, protection. Let's close with this. And then we will know if we will continue next week or we will wrap it up. You have to learn to differentiate the word
of God from the word of the man of God. And this is why we have to be keen when we are being prophesied to listen. When someone is praying over you, you have to listen keenly and know. Because in between a prophetic word, as someone is ministering to you, because of their element of being man, sometimes error enters. Na hapo katikati, kuna kuwa na vitu zake, na vitu zenye Mungu anasema. Another example. Sometime back, someone came to me and told me certain good things, very good things, over my life. Things I've heard, things I know. And I said amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. And as they were saying them, they told me something. Told me, come to a place where ministry will be booming and whatnot, and then there will be controversies up and apale, up and kule, but as it akuwa za kweli, lakini God ata protect, blah blah blah. I said, ah, so it's okay. Sikuenda kuomba, sikuenda controversies, sikuenda haiku nisumbua, juu ninajua hakutakuwa na controversies. Why? Because there is a word that we are praying and clinging to, that the glory of God so much comes to the church, that even if there is fault inside the church, we are so covered by the glory of God that what happens inside the church that is bad, that is not supposed to come out, will never come out because we are so enveloped in the glory of God. And that is the kind of revival we are praying for. So, I nodded my head and we moved on with life. And the other things that were said, I did not disregard them. I used them to pray. But that, I disregard because I know the difference between the word of God and the word of the man of God. Because I have decided to be keen when someone is speaking to me. I have decided that I will not cry. I will not cry and hamper my hearing ability. Let's go to 1 Kings 13 and then we close. 1 Kings 13. Can I borrow 5 minutes? Can I borrow 5 minutes? Mesquia, see if we can say no. First Kings, 13, verses 11. This is a very interesting passage. Okay, and this is what it says. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came to from Judah. And verse 13, then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came to Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread, nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. So he said to him, I too I am a prophet. This is the old prophet saying, I too I am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. It gets interesting. And an angel spoke to me
by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. In brackets, he was lying to him. The angel was lying to the old prophet. Yeah. It's happened severally in scripture where God sends a spirit to deceive a king. So the angel was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet.
Oh God, it is so popular.
Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread, drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him and the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. Norma.
So you come. You are praying here on Monday. We meet here on Monday at 6 a.m. to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 to 7. You come here, you're praying. What's your name? Huh? Lemayan. Yeah. You come here, you're praying, and then God gives you a word. And I come from my bed that day and I meet with you and I start to give you the word of the Lord. And because you know I have a track record, when I prophesy it happens, because it does. You say, hey man, say sifa unajua alinisho hivi na hivi na hivi. So ni poa acha nifanya kenye sifa alinisho, alinisho. Wewe huyo, unafanya kenye nimekuambia. Sa ile tu unaenda kufanya kenye na kuambia hivi, na kutana nawe na kuambia. Sasa God anasema hivi, kwa sababu ukufanya kenye alikuambia, baba maisha yako imeharibika. Who is your first prophet? Who is responsible to give you utmost direction? Who is responsible to hear for your life? And listen to this. An angel comes and lies to the old prophet. He does not discern that the angel is lying. And the second time, now the word of the Lord comes. We have to learn to differentiate the word that comes from the man and the word that comes from God. Most of times, the word that comes from the man and the word that comes from God will come through the man. Most of the time. But your discernment has to be alert. You get what I'm saying? Are you learning? Your discernment has to be alert. If you go to a place and you say that pastor is a con man because I'm a chukua pesa zetu, is it on him or on you? Huh? But is it on him or on you? Is it on him or on you? This is it. And we have to mature up. We have to remember that the prophet who had come to speak to the king, who was, you know what honor that is, to be told by God, go and speak to the president. Go and speak to the president of South Africa. And he opens up ways. And when you get to South Africa, unafika kwa airport, unapata wamekuwekea dancers, you know, dancers, nini, escort, state house, ndani. Unaingia hivi, unapata, anaitwa nani siku hizi? They change so fast. Anaitwa Ramaphosa, they still have Ramaphosa. Yes. Unapata hapo hivi, unamwambia, God amesema ufanye malemba, nini, and then unatoka hivi. Ukitoka hivi ukifika kwa airport unapatana na prophet wa South Africa. You guys are bad.
You're bad people.
Unapatana naye anakuambia twende kwangu nikutengenezee mkutano. Twende nikutengenezee mkutano ya siku tatu. Unakwambia, unamwambia God aniambia nikitoka tu kwa Ramaphosa nikuje nipande ndege nirudi kwetu nirudi mlimani nikaone. Unakwambia, si unanijua, si umeniona hata kwa TV. Mimi ni prophet tu kama wewe. Na pia mimi Mungu ameniambia that nikutengenezee mkutano. Na kwa sababu unamheshimu kama nabii mwenza, wewe na yeye huyo mnaenda mkutano siku tatu, Mungu anatembea. Mwisho wa mkutano hivyo nakwambia, jana nikaa niliona utafika huko
kwa sababu ulinisikiza. Najua mkutano imekuwa mzuri nini, anakwambia, lakini kwa sababu uko na watoto na nini, acha nikutumie love offering ndio mama nyumbani asiteseke baada ya wewe kuenda. Unapiga hesabu hivi, unaingia South African Airlines, inainuka hivi pap, wewe peke yako unakufa maji.
And it ends like that, and most of us are living that kind of life where we obeyed our pastors rather than we did it with God. You might not die. It might not be outrageous. It might not be like the passage we've read, dramatic as that. But the consequences are the same. Can we stand up? I want us to remember to be coming with an offering. Alright, I want us to be coming with an offering so that we can give. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word, and your word has found room in us. God, may we be accountable to the word. May we be accountable to the word. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
And I thank you for offering. I bless your name, and I pray that as we give, the word that sustains giving sustains us. In the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You can give at the back if you